B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Nun Aleph. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Omud Beis. Says the Gemara, and we're continuing about how much a person is required to conform with the custom of the place that he is in. Says the Gemara, Bnei Chuzoi, the place of Chuzoi, the people there, Noagu, they had the custom, Demafroshi Chalom Me'arizo. We know that, according to the halacha, you only have to take challah from a dough that's made of one of the five types of grains, and rice is not one of them. But the place of Chuzoi, they had the custom to take challah, to separate challah and give it to the Kohen, even from a dough made of rice. Also, V'omru Leila Rav Yosef, they told Rav Yosef about this custom. Omar Luhu, Rav Yosef told them, Nichla Zor Ba'apaihu. Get somebody who's not a Kohen, a Zor, he's strange. That means he's not a Kohen, a stranger, and he should eat this challah in front of them. Because they think that they're taking challah, and so to speak, they might think that there's a chiyuv, a requirement to separate challah and give it to the Kohen. We want to make a statement that rice is not chayav in challah, and therefore take somebody who's not a Kohen and they should eat this challah. Normal challah, if a zor, somebody who's not a Kohen, eats it, it's got the same halachas as truma, it's very serious. But here, Rav Yosef wanted to impress on them that this custom has no basis, and therefore he told them that a zor should eat from the challah. The challah taken from the rice dough. Esve Abaye now challenged Rav Yosef that we know there's a rule that dvorim hamutorim, something that is permitted, v'achirim noagu ben iser, and for some reason others, they had the custom to be stringent on something that according to the letter of the law was actually mutter. I ator shoyi la'tiron bifneim, you should not make it mutter, that means do not undermine their stringency in front of them. Allow them to continue keeping up with their stringency, thinking that it's asa, even though in truth it's mutter. And this is a rule that Abaye said, this rule is contrary to what Rav Yosef says. There were these people in Chuzoi that were taking challah from rice dough, and Rav Yosef says in front of them, you should undermine that. Omar loy. So Rav Yosef said to Abaye, "V'lav mi itmar alo Omar Rav Chisda b'kutoi." Did Rav Chisda not say that this rule that you should not undermine a stringency in front of the people who are being stringent is only talking about the kutim? And the kutim were people that were very unlearned, and they would get confused with the halachas, and they would pervert the halacha even more, that if you're going to tell them that you don't need to take challah from a dough of rice, they're going to think you don't need to take challah from a dough of regular grains either. So that's why in Kutoi, you're not allowed to undermine a stringency that is in fact mutter. However, in any other places, so for example, in the place of Bnei Chuzoi, that they were not kutim, Rav Yosef held over there, they would know that we're only undermining taking challah from rice and not undermining taking challah from a regular dough of other grains, and therefore we can undermine it. Asks the Gemara, but I don't understand, it's true that Bnei Chuzoi, they were not kutim. Kutim were a people, a nation that joined Klal Yisrael at some point, and there were a lot of issues with them. But these people not. Now the Gemara is asking, but why is it with Kutoim that we should not undermine their stringencies? Because they're going to confuse the halacha and pervert the halacha even more. Well, the people in Bnei Chuzoi, they were not Kutim, but they were in the same bracket. Kutoim Aitam. What is the reason that by the Kutim we do not undermine their stringencies? Mishum de Masar Chimilsa, they're going to get confused. Hanoch Inshi, these people from Bnei Chuzoi that were very unlearned people, Namisar Chimilsa, if you're going to undermine the challah of oirez, of rice, they're going to end up undermining the challah of other doughs as well. And therefore, Abaye's question comes back to Rav Yosef, why did you undermine their stringency? Elo Amar Rav Ashi says that it depends as follows. Chozinon ir rubon oirez ochlu. If most of the people in the place are only eating doughs of rice, that means they're not really eating any other dough, then loy nichle zor ba'apayu. Then you should not undermine the stringency of taking challah. Why? Of course, we don't need to take challah from a dough of oirez, but at least there's some resemblance of challah, and they'll remember that there is such a concept, and when they make doughs of dogon, of other grains, they'll remember to take challah. And therefore, don't undermine it, because if you stop them taking challah from Erez, they're going to forget about challah altogether. Dilma mishtakcha teres challah minayu. Maybe the whole concept of challah will be forgotten from them. Vi rubon dogon ochli. If, however, most of the people there eat those of dogon, of regular grains, then nichlazor ba'apayu, then you can undermine the custom of taking challah from rice, because the custom of taking challah from the other grains and the other doughs will not be undermined, because people are still practicing it. And the reason that we would undermine this custom is dilma osi la'afrushe min hachiyuv ala ptur u min haptur ala chiyuv. Because maybe that if you're not going to undermine it, and they're going to be taking challah also from regular doughs and also from rice, they might think that the chiyuv of the two are equal. And if the chiyuv of the two would be equal, then you can take challah from one type onto another type. And that we're not allowed to do. And especially not from rice, where rice is not even chayev. If you took challah from rice and tried to exempt another dough from other grains from challah, of course it doesn't work, because the challah of rice doesn't exist. There is no such chiyuv. And in order that it shouldn't get confused, therefore they said you should undermine the custom of taking challah from rice, and thereby they will only take challah from the other doughs, from the other grains, and that no issues will come up. Continues the Gemara, Gufa, Dvarim amutorim v'achirim noagu bohen isur iator shoyu la'tiron bifneim. We saw before, Abaya mentioned at the bottom of Daf Nun Amud Beis a concept that if people, they have the custom to be stringent on something which halachically is permitted, you should not undermine that stringency in front of them. Omer of Chizda, as we saw before, Bekutoy Yoskinon, we're talking about the unlearned and confused people from the Kutim. Asks the Gemara of Akule Alma Loi, is it anybody who's not Kutim that you're going to say that this doesn't apply and you are allowed to undermine their stringencies in front of them? V'otanya, this seems to contradict the following brisa. Reichatzin shnei achin ke'echod. According to the halacha, two brothers are allowed to bathe together. And we're not worried that being that they're going to see each other in a naked fashion is going to arouse their minds to inappropriate thoughts. Ve'en reichatzin shnei achin bekovul. In the place of kovul, the custom was that two brothers would not bathe together. U'maisa be'yehuda ve'hilel bonov sh'Rabban Gamliel. There was an incident in the place of Kovul, that Yehuda and Hillel, the sons of Rabban Gamliel, sherochatzu shneen ke'echod b'kovul. In the place of Kovul, they both went into the bathing house together. V'lo azo alein kol ha'medina. The whole city, the whole place, they criticized them for doing that. Omru, the two brothers responded, Omru, and the people of Kovul claimed, Miyomeinu lo ra'inu kach. We've never seen such a thing that two brothers should go into the bathing house together. V'nishmat Hillel v'yotzo l'beis hachitzoin. Hillel, one of the two brothers, left and went into an outer chamber in order not to be in the bathhouse together with his brother Yehuda. V'leirotzo l'ima lohen, and Hillel did not want to tell them, mutorin atem, this custom of two brothers not bathing together is inappropriate. He didn't want to tell them that there's no basis for it and you can be lenient. He just left. And the question that arises is if that any place other than the Kutim, we are allowed to undermine an unjustified stringency, why didn't Yehuda and Hillel tell them straight, Mutorin atem, you can be lenient, there's no reason for two brothers not to bathe together. So you see that even not in the place of the Kutim, they wouldn't undermine in front of them their stringency. And another incident, Yoitzin Bukur Dekisun Beshabbos. The general custom was that one was allowed to go with loose-fitting, wide shoes in the street on Shabbos, and we're not worried that they're going to slip off and somebody's going to pick them up and carry them for Amos in Rosh Hashanah. However, Ve'en Yoitzin Bukur Dekisun Beshabbos, Bebiri, in the place of Biri, they didn't have this minig, they had the custom to be stringent and not to wear these shoes on Shabbos. And again, it was Yehuda and Hillel, the sons of Rabban Gamliel. They did wear these shoes in this place called Biri on Shabbos. And the people of the place there criticized them. The Omruan said, we never saw people going out with such shoes on Shabbos. We are stringent. We don't want people to go with these shoes on Shabbos. Veshamtum, they took off these shoes, venosnum lavdem, and gave it to their servants to carry for them, so that they should not be walking in the streets any longer with these shoes. And the poskim and the mefarshim discuss how could they give it to their servants. You're not allowed to ask your servants to do a melacha for you. It's a discussion in the mefarshim. But either way, v'leiratzu loymar lehen mutarin atim. Yehuda and Hillel didn't want to tell these people of Biri that this stringency not to wear these shoes can be undermined and it's mutar, even though they were not kutim. And the third incident, v'yoshvin al safsalei nochrim b'shabbos. One is allowed to sit on the chairs, on the stools of the goyim on Shabbos, even though it's in the place where the goyim are doing business, and during the week everyone's doing business there, and we allow people to sit there on Shabbos, and we're not concerned that somebody is going to accuse or suspect this Yisrael, this Yid, for doing business on Shabbos. V'einon yoshvin al safsalei nochrim b'shabbos b'akoi. However, in the place of Akko, they would be machmir, and they would not sit on these stools on Shabbos. U'maisiv Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, she'yoshev al safsalei nochrim b'shabbos, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel actually sat on one of these stools b'akoi, in the place of Akoi. V'lo azo alov kol ha'medina, and all the people criticized him, and omru, they said, mi'yameinu lo ra'inu kach, we never saw Yisrael, a Yid, sitting on these stools on Shabbos here in Akko. Nishmat al gabi karka, he immediately went off the stools and sat on the floor. V'leirotza leimer lehen mutarin atem. And here again, he did not want to tell them that the stringency not to sit on these stools can be undermined and is not necessary, even though it was not a place of kutim. So we have three incidences in this brisa where in a place other than kutim, they did not want to undermine a stringency. And how does this conform with what Rav Chisda said, that this idea of not undermining a stringency applies primarily with kutim? Answers the Gemara, Bnei Medina Sayom, the people in these places where there were not so many Talmidei Chachomim, Nami also, Kiven Delo Shchichi Rabbonon Gabayu, since there are not so many Talmidei Chachomim and Gedolei Torah who are amongst them, Kekutim Domu, they're equally confused as the Kutim are, and they're not learned enough, and undermining a stringency would cause them to become lax in other halachas, and therefore they did not want to undermine them. The Gemara now says, Bishlei misafsali nachrim, in the case of not sitting on the stools of the goyim where they're doing business on Shabbos in Akko, I can understand what should be the issue. Mishum demerze kamekach o memkar, it looks like you're doing business. If you undermine that, then they may mistakenly or in their lack of wisdom, they would come to say that you're allowed to do business. They would accuse other Yisraelim of doing business on Shabbos. So we can understand that stringency. Bekur de kisu nami dilma mishtarfin v'osu le'isiu arba amois b'rishus harabim. In the case of those very wide shoes that they would not wear in Biri, we can understand that because there was this concern that they would slip off and somebody would carry them for amois and rishus harabim. Elo Roichatzin, but the first case of the two brothers, Maita Meloi. What was behind that stringency not to let two brothers bathe together? Says the Gemara as follows. Kedetanya, we learnt in a brisa. Im hakil odom roichatz, a person is allowed to bathe with anyone he wants. Chutz besides Me'oviv, his father, V'chomiv, his father-in-law, Ubal Imoi, and his mother's husband, in the case that his mother had another husband other than his own father, Ubal Achoisoi, and his brother-in-law, his sister's husband, all those you're not allowed to bathe with them, and the reason for all of them is that a person's mind could wander to inappropriate places. Rabbi Yehuda Matir Ba'oviv Mipnei Kvoid. Oviv, Rabbi Yehuda says that in respect for one's father, one is allowed to accompany one's father to the bathhouse. V'u'adin Nabal Imoy, and the same applies to the husband of his mother. V'osu Inu, and the people in this place, in Kovul, where they didn't allow two brothers to bathe together, they made the gzeira b'shnei achim, not to let two brothers bathe together, mishum bal achisoy, lest they get confused between a sister's husband and a brother-in-law. And they said, in order not to get confused with a brother-in-law, two brothers should not bathe together either. Continues the Gemara, Tanu we learnt in a Braisa, Talmid lo yirchatz im Rabbi, it's inappropriate for a Talmid to go to the bathhouse together with his Rebbe. Vim Rabbi tzorich lo, however, if his Rebbe needs him to help him in the bathhouse, then in order to serve him there, mutter, in that case, it is permitted. Continues the Gemara, Ki osa Rabbi bar bar chono, when Rabbi bar bar chono went from Eretz Yisrael to Bovel, then ochal daisra, there were certain fats near the stomach that in Bovel they had the custom not to eat it in fear that it would get confused with other fats possibly that were also to eat, and in Eretz Yisrael they would eat it. When Rabbi Bar Bar Chona came from Eretz Yisrael to Bovel, he would eat these fats. Ulle Gabei Reb Aviro Saba v'Rabbi Bereider Rav Huna. He had two guests who came to visit him, Reb Aviro and Reb Aviro Saba and Rabbi Bereider Rav Huna. Kivin de Chozinu, as soon as Rabbi Bar Bar Chona saw these two Chachomim coming, Kasya Minai, who he covered the fats from them that they shouldn't see, he was eating them. Also, v'omru leila Abaya, they came and told Abaya that when we went to Rabbi Bar Bar Chona, he was eating these fats that we don't eat in Bovel, and he was obviously conforming with his custom from Eretz Yisrael to eat them. We don't eat them here. Omar luhu. So Abaya answered back to them, Shavinchu kekutoi. Obviously, Rabbi Bar Bar Chona compared you to the kutim, and he didn't want to undermine the stringency of Bovel in front of you, and that's why he covered it over. V'rab asks the Gemara, V'rabbi Bar Bar Chona les lehod itnan noisnin olav chumre amokim sheyotzo mishom v'chumre amokim sheholach l'shom? I don't understand, says the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah that a person should not change from the custom of the place that he's in. And since Rabbi Bar Bar Chona was now in Bovel, and in Bovel the custom was not to eat these fats, then it's a chumre amokim shaholach l'sham. Why was he eating it? He should be more stringent. Answers the Gemara, Omar Abaya, Hana mili mi Bovel le Bovel. If you're going from one place to another place in Bovel, or Eretz Yisrael, from one place to another in Eretz Yisrael, inami mi Bovel le'Eretz Yisrael, or if you're going from Bovel to Eretz Yisrael, then you should keep up the minhagim. Don't follow the minig of the place you came from. You should conform also with the minig of the place that you're going to. If there's a stringency in the place you're going to, follow that stringency in order that there shouldn't be any machlekas. However, avol me'Eretz Yisrael le'Bovel lo'i. But when you're going from Eretz Yisrael to Bovel, it's okay to remain with the custom of Eretz Yisrael, and you don't have to conform to the customs of Bovel. Kiven de anan kaifinon luhu, of dinon kavosaychu. Since the people here in Bovel, they are subservient to luhu in Eretz, to the people of Eretz Yisrael, they need the people in Eretz Yisrael. There's a number of different halachas that the judges, the chachomim in Eretz Yisrael, can do that they cannot do in Bovel. And since Bovel are subservient to Eretz Yisrael, of dinon kavusayhu, it's okay to continue following the customs of Eretz Yisrael, even if when visiting Bovel. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says, afilu teimum Eretz Yisrael le Bovel. It could be that even when going from Eretz Yisrael to Bovel, one should adopt the stringencies of Bovel. So if so, why was Rabbi Bar Bar Chona eating these fats? That's only if you're not planning to go back to the place you came from, and you're here to stay, follow the stringencies of this place. Rabbi Bar Bar Chona, however, Rabbi Bar Bar Chona had plans of going back to Eretz Yisrael, and since he had plans of going back to Eretz Yisrael, it was okay for him to continue with the customs of Eretz Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, Omale Rabbi Bar Bar Chona lebnei. Rabbi Bar Bar Chona said to his children, Bonai, my children, Loi Soichal, you should not eat these fats here in Bovel or at all. You should not eat these fats called Daisera. Loi Befonai, Veloi Beshloi Befonai. Not in front of me, and not in front of me. Ani shero isias Rabbi Yochanan she'ochel. I saw Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael eating these fats. So Kedayu Rabbi Yechonon Nismeich Olof Sa'ai, Rabbi Bar Chana can rely on what I saw from my Rebbe Rabbi Yechonon, even though I don't understand why it should be okay. Rabbi Bar Chana himself had a logic that it should be also to eat these fats at all. But I saw my Rebbe Rabbi Yechonon doing it, so I can rely on him, Lismeich Olof Befonov, V'Shalei Befonov, even if I'm not in front of Rabbi Yechonon, I can still rely on him. Ato. But you, my child, loyra iso iso, you did not see Rabbi Yochanan doing this, and therefore lo yisoichal bein befonai bein shalei befonai. You should not eat these fats, not in front of me, Rabbi Baruch Hanan, and not in front of me, you should not be eating these fats at all. And the Mefarashim team seem to understand that the whole discussion is here, can you follow Rabbi Yochanan even in a place where the custom was not to eat these fats? For example, in Bovel, Rabbi Baruch Hanan said, since I saw Rabbi Yochanan, therefore I can be lenient even in Bovel where the custom is otherwise, but you, my children, who did not see Rabbi Yochanan, cannot be lenient in Bovel. However, back in Eretz Yisrael, where the custom was to be lenient, there, this is not an issue. And for more details exactly on these fats and the different halachas of this dicer of fat, is actually discussed at length in the Gemara in Chulin Daf Mem Tes and Daf Nun, and the Mirtz Hashem will get there. Continues the Gemara, Upliga Didei Adidei. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana seemed to be contradicting himself in a similar situation where there was a leniency based on seeing a great sage do something that the person who was watching himself didn't feel that way or wouldn't have ruled that way, but he saw a great sage following that way. To what extent can others follow this person that saw the great sage? Is that we saw just now, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said, only himself who saw Rabbi Yochanan could be lenient, but his children could not be lenient at all. And this seems to contradict something else. To Omer Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said as follows, Sochli Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar told me the following, Pam achas nichnasti achar Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yosi ben Lukunya. Once I, Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, was following, I went in behind Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yosi ben Lukunya. Where did he follow him into? Legino, into a garden, where things were growing, vegetables were growing. V'notal sfichei kruv. The concept of sfichin is something that grows even though it was not planted. And how did it grow? Obviously, when they reaped, when the previous crops were removed, then some seeds may have fallen into the ground, and then they now grew on their own. That's regular sfichin. Sfichei kruv is talking about an annex. Sfichin are annex, and regular sfichin, as we said, are an extension, an annex of the previous crop that when they were reaped, some seeds fell down. And the case of Sfichei Kruv is talking about that the stalks of the Kruv stay in the ground, and the Kruv being often translated as cabbage, and just extra layers of leaves got added on at some point. And this is called an extension of an annex to the cabbage, to the Kruv. And we're discussing here the halachas of Shemitah, and we have to introduce that in the halachas of Shemitah, there's a halacha that all the while that similar food items are found in the fields, we saw this in our Mishnah a little bit, and we're going to see it on the next daf more at length, that all the while that similar food items are available for the chayus in the field, a person is allowed to keep them at home and eat them. As soon as the zman biur, as soon as the time has arrived where there are no more such food items available in the fields, a person has to get rid of all those food items in his house and take them out of his house. He's not allowed to own them anymore. And that is called achar zman biur. You're not allowed to have them anymore. The question is, do we say that this halacha that of sfichin, that means things that are planted and they grew because you planted them, then of course, once it comes to the halacha of biur, the time of biur, you have to get rid of it. What happens with sfichin? Is there a halacha at all of sfichin that after the time comes where similar sfichin are not found anymore in the fields, I mean, similar food items are not found anymore in the fields, that it's osa? Or do we say that this whole halacha doesn't apply to sfichin? So Rabbi Akiva says that min ha-Torah, sfichin have the same halachas as anything else, and biur does apply, besides for the sfichei kruv. That min ha-Torah, the the halacha of zman biur, of the time of having to dispose of these cabbage leaves from the home when they are no longer available in the fields, does not apply min ha-Torah. And there's going to be a machlekas whether, according to Rabbi Akiva, at least midrabbonon it's asa. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, not only is it not asa min ha-Torah, even midrabbonon it's not asa. According to the Chachomim, it's asa midrabbonon. So what happened here? Here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar was following Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Lukunya into this garden. V'natal sfichei kruv, he took these, he plucked from the field some of these leaves that had added on in Shmita onto the stalks of the cabbage. And he took them, and it was after the Zman of Biur, it would seem. V'ochal v'nosanli, and he ate some, and he gave it to me, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, he gave some to me to eat as well. V'omer li, and he said to me, Bni, my son, befonai echil, in front of me you can eat it. Sheloi befonai, but not in front of me, lo yiseichal, you're not allowed to eat it. Why? Ani, I shero isi es Shimon ben Yochai she'ochal, I saw Reb Shimon ben Yochai, and Reb Shimon ben Yochai holds that there's no iser of zman biur by sfichei kruv at all. I saw Reb Shimon ben Yochai being lenient, and kedayu Reb Shimon ben Yochai lismech olov befonov v'sheloi befonov, and therefore I, Reb Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Lukunya, can be lenient in front of Reb Shimon and even not in front of Reb Shimon. However, ato, you, befonai, in front of me, you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, you can eat, and as we saw, he gave him to eat, you can eat sfichei kruv. Befonai echol, sheloi befonai, loi soichal, but not in front of me, you should not eat these sfichei kruv. You should be lenient like the Chachomim who argue the B'Shem ben Yochai and say that Sfichei Kruv are at least Osir Midrabonon, after the Zman Biur. So this seems to be a contradiction with Rabbi Bar Bar Chona. Rabbi Bar Bar Chona himself said to his sons, don't eat these fats, that I, Rabbi Bar Bar Chona, can eat them because I saw Rabbi Yochanan, but you should not eat them at all because you didn't see Rabbi Yochanan. That means his sons or the people who are watching him were not even allowed to eat it themselves in front of Rabbi Bar Bar Chona, who himself saw Rabbi Yochanan. And this is contrary to what we saw here, that Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Lukunya said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, in front of me you can eat it because I saw Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai eating these sfichei kruv, but you shouldn't. And that seems to be a type of contradiction. And now the Gemara says, "My Reb Shimon, what's this Reb Shimon bar Yochai?" The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Reb Shimon Oimer Kol Asfichin Asurin Chutz Misfichei Kruv. All the Sfichin are also min haTorah after Zman Biur. Besides for Sfichei Kruv, besides for the extension, the added leaves that get added onto the stalks of the cabbage, She'en Kiyetze Behen Bayerek Hasodeh. And these words are very ambiguous. It's not clear what they mean. But the way Rashi explains it, what he means is that these cabbages actually never, they're never a time in the year, right through the winter, the cabbages and these cabbage leaves are actually found in the fields. And therefore, there is no Zman Biur, and therefore, in the case of Sfichei Kruv, you're always allowed to eat them all year round. V'chachomim say, Kol ha-Sfichin Asurim, even Sfichei Kruv, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat it beyond a certain point in time. V'tarvayu alibad Reb Akiva. Reb Shimon and the Chachomim are both following Reb Akiva. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa that it says in the Pasuk, V'chisoim rumanoichal bashona ashvis. If you're going to ask, what are you going to eat in the Shemitah year? Hein, behold, loy nizra, we cannot plant. You're not allowed to plant in Shemitah. V'loy nesa, if we cannot collect as tvuaseinu, our crops. And the question is, Omer Bakiva, Bakiva asked, V'chi me'achar she'ein zoirin mehecha isfin. If the Pasuk already says that what we're going to eat, we cannot plant, of course if you cannot plant, you cannot collect into your crops. So why does the Pasuk have to say, Hein loy nizra v'loy nesayf? It must be, Mikan l'sfichin she'im asurim. It must be that the Pasuk is trying to impress on us that Hein loy nizra, we're not allowed to plant. V'loy nesayf, and even the things that we didn't plant and they grew on their own, even those, we're not allowed to collect. So from here you see that sfichin, that even sfichin are osur, they have all the halachas of Shemitah, and after Zman Biur, after they're no longer available in the fields, they're not allowed to be eaten. B'mayko miflugi. So what's up Shimon and the Chachomim arguing if they both follow Rabbi Akiva that Sfichin, that the halachas of Shmita apply even to Sfichin? The Rabbonon Sovra Gozrinon Sfichei Kruv Otushar Sfichei D'Alma. The Rabbonon hold that even though Sfichei Kruv, the halacha of Biur shouldn't apply, nonetheless they made a gzeira not to get confused with other Sfichin, and they prohibited these Sfichin. Reb Shimon Sova Leigozrinon Sfichei Kruv Otu Sfichei D'Alma. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai holds they didn't make such a gzeira, and Sfichei Kruv are completely mutter. And that's what was going on before, that Reb Shimon ben Rabbi Yosi ben Lukunya said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, he said to him that I'm saw Reb Shimon ben Yochai being lenient, so I can be lenient, and you can eat from these Sfichei Kruv in front of me. But when you're not in front of me, you should not rely on Reb Shimon, you should follow the Chachomim and not eat the Sfichei Kruv. That's how Rashi understands this Gemara. Tosfos has a long list of questions on Rashi, but we're not going beyond Rashi. This is how Rashi understood the Sugya. Continues the Gemara, and we're going back to the Mishnah. We saw in the Mishnah, on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, and there we were discussing where there are some places where they have a custom to do a malacha, to do work on Erev Pesach in the morning, and other places not. And the Mishnah says that Ha'holich mimokim sha'oisin lemokim sha'ein oisin. Oy mimokim sha'ein oisin lemokim sha'oisin. If you're going either from a place that were accustomed to do malachas in the morning, and to a place that the custom was not to do malachas, or vice versa. In either case, you give them always the more stringent of the two. That means if you're going to a place where they're more stringent, be more stringent. If you're going to a place where they're more lenient, since you came from a place that was more stringent, be more stringent. And the Mishnah adds on, v'al yishan ne'odom mipnei ha'machlekes. And the reason you shouldn't be different to the place you've arrived at is in order that there shouldn't be any machlokes, any arguments, as if you don't agree with them. And obviously the first question that comes to mind is that's very good if you're going from a place where they were lenient to a place where they were stringent. Be stringent, don't be different, don't make machlokes. If you're going from a place that was stringent to a place that was more lenient, and you have to be stringent like the place you came from, then why is that going to avoid machlokes? You're doing different to the place that you came to. And that's what the Gemara is now going to ask. If you're going from a place that was lenient, where they were doing work on Erev Pesach in the morning, to a place where they don't do malacha, you give them the chumras, the stringencies of the new place, the place he's arrived at, don't be different to them, causing an argument, and don't work on Erev Pesach in the morning like they did in the place you came from, be stringent. And don't work in order not to make machlekas, because the place you've come to now are being stringent and they're not working. If you're going from a place where they were more stringent to a place where they're more lenient, what are you going to say? Don't make a machlekas, be like everybody else, and do malachas on Erev Pesach. How can you do that? Did you not say that you should be stringent like the place you came from? How are the two going to go together? How can you also be stringent like the place you came from and also not be different to the place you're going to in order not to make a machlokes? So there's going to be two explanations. Omar Abaya Aresha. Abaya says that the truth is you always have to be more stringent. However, Va'al Yeshana Mipnei Machleikas is going on the Reisha. When you're going from a place that's more lenient to a place that's more stringent, follow the stringencies of the place you're going to and don't make a machlokes. But when it's the other way around, you're going from a more stringent place to a place which is more lenient, you can be lenient. And it's true that there might be a machlokes, but not on that case. The Mishnah said, don't make an argument. Rava Omar, no. Rava says La'olam HaSeifa. It could even be going on the Seifa. Either way, don't make a machlekas, and either way, it's not a contradiction to take the stringencies of both places. V'achi koma, and this is how you're supposed to read into the Mishnah. Ein bezu mishum shinui ha-machlekas. It means if you're going from a place that was less stringent, a place that's more stringent. Follow the place that's more stringent. Don't make a machlokas. Don't work when everyone else is not working. And in the case where you're going from a place where they were not working to a place that is working, be stringent like the place you came from, and there is no issue. We're not saying do like them and do the and work and avoid machlokas. No. Follow the chumra of the place you came from and don't work, and there will not be machlokas. Why? My ka'omras haroya, because somebody who's watching you not doing work, what do you think he's going to say? Oimer melocha asura? Is he going to say that this person holds it's also to do work and that thereby making a machlokas? Everybody here is working, he's not working because he holds it's also to work. Is that what people are going to say? No. Meimar Omar is going to say, Kama batloni ikabashuk. He's just going to say to himself, poor fellow, he's idle and he's just got nothing to do with himself. He couldn't find a job. And that's where it's going to stop. It's not going to become into an argument because he's simply not working. Continues the Gemara. Omar le Rav Safra le Rav Abba. Rav Safra asked Rav Abba or said to Rav Abba as follows. And we know that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they would determine when Rosh Chodesh was, depending on witnesses. If on day 30 of the month, witnesses came and say, we saw the new moon, Beis Din would say, today is day 1 of the next month, and the previous month had just 29 days. If witnesses wouldn't come on day 30, by default, the next day would become Rosh Chodesh. And in Eretz Yisrael, as soon as it was Rosh Chodesh, there would be messengers that would go around and people would know which day was Rosh Chodesh. And then we would know what day is Sukkot, what day is Pesach, what day is Shavuos. They would know what day Yom Tov was based on Rosh Chodesh. However, places further afield where the messengers wouldn't be able to get there in time for Yom Tov, what would they do? They wouldn't know in time which day was Rosh Chodesh and they wouldn't know which day was Sukkot or Pesach. So what did they do? They would keep 2 days Yom Tov, as we know today in Chutz Loretz, even though we have the calendar today, and we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh would be, we know when the new moon starts, etc. However, it's a Gemara elsewhere in Shas, but that is the concept of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. It's not Shel Golios. In those days, it was Yom Tov Sheni. They kept 2 days. The discussion now is going to be, what happens when somebody went from a place where they knew where Rosh Chodesh was to a place where they didn't know it was Rosh Chodesh? And in the place where they don't normally know, they keep 2 days. But this person says, I know when Rosh Chodesh was. Do I need to keep 2 days Yom Tov? Or on the day which is not Yom Tov, I can just practice like a regular weekdays, like they do in the place where they knew when Rosh Chodesh was. Kagoin Anan. Rav Safra says, people like us, the Yodinon Bekviya de Yarcha, that we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was. And when we go to a place where they don't know when Rosh Chodesh was, then, and over there they're keeping 2 days, Beyishuv, in the inhabited area, Loyovidna, we are not allowed to do a melacha on second day Yom Tov. Why? Mipnei shinui hamachlekes. Because you're making an argument. Everybody else is practicing Yom Tov and you're doing melachas. You're not allowed to do any melachas. But midbar mai, what happens in the uninhabited places where they are too far away? That means they would keep 2 days if there were people living there, but there's nobody living there. And this person happens to know when Rosh Chodesh was. Is he allowed to do melachas there? Omalei, so Rav Abba said to Rav Safra, Hochi Omer Rav Ami, Rav Ami said that Beyishuv Osur, Bemidbar Mutar, indeed only in an inhabited area you have to practice second day Yom Tov, even though for you, the place you came from, there is no 2 days Yom Tov, but in the Midbar, in a desert where there's no people, you can be lenient and keep just the 1 day Yom Tov that you would have kept back in your home place. Continues the Gemara. Rav Nosson Bar Asya, Ozal mi Beirav le Pumpadisa. Rav Nosson Bar Asya, he went from the Beis Medrash called Beirav to a place called Pumpadisa, which was more than the 2,000 amis of the Tchum that's allowed on Shabbos and Yom Tov. He went outside the Tchum, be Yom Tov Sheini Shel Atzeres, on the second day of Shavuos, in a place where they were keeping 2 days. And he obviously assumed, he knew when Shavuos was exactly, and he held that that second day was not Shavuos. But he was there in Chutz Loretz, and there they kept 2 days, and he was mechalal, he went outside the Tchum on the second day of Shavuos. Shomtei Rav Yosef excommunicated him. Omale Abaya, Abaye asked Rav Yosef, why did you suffice by excommunicating him? V'lenog de'mar, why don't you punish him, negidi, by giving him lashes, midrabonon, makas mardus? Why don't you give him lashes, midrabonon, the zechiyuv to keep second day Yom Tov, if it's Yom Tov sheni shel goliyos, in the time of the exile, why don't you give him the lashes? Omalei, so Rav Yosef said to Abaye, Adifa Ovidle, I actually gave him the more stringent punishment. It's more stringent to excommunicate somebody than to give him lashes. How do we know that? The Memarova in Eretz Yisrael, Mimnu Anegida de Beirav, when a young scholar, Talmud Chochem, did something that was inappropriate, they would count, they would make a vote between the Chachomim whether to give him the lashes, Veloy Mimna Ashamto. But they would not make a vote whether to excommunicate him, because they would say it's disrespectful for Talmud Chochem to be excommunicated, and we're just going to decide whether he deserves the lashes. But he certainly will not get excommunicated. So you see that excommunicating is a more serious punishment than lashes, and therefore Rav Yosef said, this person that went outside the Tchum on Yom Tov, on Yom Tov Sheni, we're going to give him the more serious punishment of excommunication. Ikadom, there's another version of this. Nogdir of Yosef. Rav Yosef didn't excommunicate him, he actually just gave him lashes. Omele Abaye, and Abaye asked him, Nesham Teimar, why don't you excommunicate him? The Rav Shmuel d'Omer Tarvayu, did Rav and Shmuel both not say that Menadin al Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Golyes, that in Golus, where the Chachomim said in Chutz La'aretz, you keep 2 days Yom Tov, and somebody who does not keep the second day Yom Tov, then even though nowadays we all know when Shavuos is, and the second day is only Midrabonon, it's not really even a Sofik, it's just Midrabonon, and you excommunicate somebody who disregards the halachas of the second day Yom Tov, so why didn't you excommunicate him? Why did you just give him lashes? Omalei Rav Yosef said to Abaye, Hana mili inish de alma, a regular person, we actually give him the more serious punishment of excommunication. Hocha tzuvu mirabonon hu. However, here we're talking about the Talmud Chochem, the Tovale Ovda, we gave him the more lenient punishment because we didn't want to make a shame the Kovod HaTorah. The Bemarova, where do we see that a Talmud Chochem, you give him the lashes and you don't excommunicate him? Because in Eretz Yisrael, Mimnu Anag Dosa, the Ba'ar Beirav, when a Talmud Chochem needed to be punished, they would vote on whether he should get lashes, Vule Mimnu Ashamto, but they did not vote whether he should get excommunicated, they did not excommunicate him in order to preserve the Kovod HaTorah. And in the next sugya, we're going to carry on with the next halacha in the Mishnah regarding Shvius.